Welcome to the deep dive. You've brought us a really fascinating set of sources this time, all pointing towards one major event, the Phoenix Lights.
That's right, March 13th, 1997. It's a date etched in memory for a lot of people in Arizona.
Definitely. We're talking about numerous reports, right? Strange lights, yes, but also this huge, dark, V-shaped object moving slowly, silently across the sky.
Exactly. And witnessed by all sorts of people, ordinary folks, a former police officer, even eventually the state governor weighed in.
Okay, so it's a big one. The real question, the core mystery we're digging into today, is what exactly did happen? Was it one thing? Multiple things.
And what about the explanations?
Yeah.
We've got sources covering everything from, you know, the official line to some pretty out there possibilities suggested by military research papers.
Right, like news reports from the time. That artist's drawing comparing the size to a 747, which is startling.
Yeah, it really gives you a sense of scale.
And then this Air Force paper talking about things like holographic projectors. So a whole range to consider.
Uh-huh. So our mission really is to sift through all this, look at the different angles, and pull out the most compelling bits to try and make sense of, well, one of the most famous UFO events ever.
Let's do it. Let's rewind to that night, March 13th, 1997. Those first eyewitness reports, the sources say they started north of Prescott, near Paulden.
That's right. And interestingly, that first report from a former police officer wasn't the V-shape yet. He was described as cluster of bright lights.
Oh!
Yeah, moving fast in a boomerang formation. So right away, you've got a variation in the descriptions.
So maybe not just one single phenomenon from the get-go. That complicates things.
It does. Yeah. Or maybe it was part of a sequence. But then as the sightings moved south towards Phoenix, that's when the description really coalesced around this massive V-shape or a triangle.
And people consistently said it was huge, dark. Some even said it blocked out the stars as it passed overhead.
Imagine that. Something big enough to just erase a patch of the night sky.
And the other key thing everyone seemed to agree on, silence.
Total silence. For an object reported to be that enormous, moving, well, relatively slowly overhead, the lack of engine noise, any sound at all, is just deeply weird.
It really is. What known aircraft of that size is silent?
Exactly. That's a huge sticking point.
And the lights themselves, descriptions varied there too, didn't they?
They did. Some people saw bright white lights, maybe with orange edges, sometimes a pulsating red center.
Okay.
Others described more of a line, red-orange lights, or just red, or even bluish-white.
So maybe different parts of one object, or maybe different objects entirely being conflated.
It's hard to say for sure based just on descriptions. Could be complex lighting on one craft, or, yeah, maybe separate things.
But the sheer number of people who saw something is undeniable. CNN, other news outlets, they were flooded with calls, the sources say.
Absolutely. From Prescott Valley, Dewey, Chino Valley, down through Glendale, Scottsdale. It covered a pretty wide area. This wasn't just one or two people.
No, clearly not. And there's that one family account that really stands out.
Oh, yeah. The one where it passed right over their house. Near Phoenix.
Uh-huh. They said it felt like it was just rooftop level. One of the kids apparently said you could have hit it with a tennis ball.
Wow. That gives you a real sense of how low and how big it seemed to them, not some distant speck.
And they actually tried to measure it with laser surveying gear.
He did. Their estimate was a wingspan of around 1,500 feet.
1,500 feet. Okay, let's pause on that because that leads right into that artist's rendering you mentioned.
Yes, the comparison, it's really effective.
So you see this sketch, this massive V-shape, 1,500-foot wingspan, right next to a Boeing 747.
And the 747, a huge plane itself, has what, a wingspan just over 200 feet. And it's about 230 feet long.
So this thing people were describing, it's potentially seven times wider than a 747 is long.
Yeah. I mean, wrap your head around that. Something potentially that enormous, moving silently. It really frames how extraordinary these reports were.
It absolutely does. Seeing it visually makes you take those eyewitness accounts, well, very seriously. It wasn't just lights in the sky.
Not for many people, no. They described a structured craft. Massive. Silent.
Okay, so you have all these compelling reports, this incredible scale being described. What was the official response? How did they explain it?
Well, it took a while. The Air Force didn't offer an explanation until several months later, late July 1997.
Months later. Okay. What did they say?
They said the lights seen later in the evening, sort of the second wave of sightings, were flares. Specifically, high-intensity flares dropped by Maryland Air National Guard A-10s, actually not F-16s as sometimes reported, during a training run over the Barry Goldwater Range.
Right, A-10s make more sense for ground attack training. But flares, this became a major point of controversy, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because many, many witnesses, especially those who saw that earlier giant silent V object, insisted that what they saw was not flares.
They felt it was something totally different.
Completely different. They described a solid object moving deliberately, silently. Flares drift down, often leaving smoke trails, and they certainly wouldn't form a stable, mile-wide V shape that moves as one unit.
And some people reported the initial light seemed stationary before moving or descending. That doesn't really sound like flares drop from a plane either.
Doesn't quite fit. No, flares usually start falling immediately. So you have this official explanation that maybe covers some of the later lights, but for many, it just didn't address that primary massive object.
The timing also feels convenient. Waiting months to offer the explanation.
It certainly fueled skepticism. And then there was the reaction from officials, like Governor Fife Symington.
Right. Initially, he kind of made light of it, joked about Star Trek.
He did. He had his chief of staff dress up as an alien at a press conference, trying to quell the mania. But then years later, in 2007, he changed his tune significantly.
What did he say then?
He admitted publicly that he himself had witnessed a massive, inexplicable craft that night. He called it otherworldly, and said he was never satisfied with the Air Force's explanation.
Wow. A sitting governor saw it too and didn't buy the official story. That adds a lot of weight.
It really does. It counters the narrative that it was just misidentification by untrained observers.
And wasn't there some talk at the city level? Phoenix City Council?
Yeah, Councilwoman Frances Barwood was quite vocal. She pushed for an investigation reflecting the concerns of her constituents.
Did anything come of that?
Not really. The sources say the council eventually decided they just didn't have the resources or, frankly, the expertise to investigate something like this. They basically deferred to the military.
Which brings us back to the flare explanation, leaving many people unsatisfied.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which naturally leads to looking at other possibilities, maybe less conventional ones.
And that's where things get really interesting, especially with that Air Force 2025 document your sources mention, talking about holographic projectors.
Right.
Airborne ones.
Yes, an operational analysis for Air Force 2025. It's a fascinating document looking at future warfare concepts. And one section explicitly discusses developing the capability to project highly realistic 3D images into the air.
For what purpose?
Primarily psychological operations, PSYOP, and strategic deception. Basically, creating illusions to fool the enemy, influence their perceptions, or even decoy their sensors. The document talks about precision projection.
Okay, so the military was actively thinking about and presumably researching projecting fake images into the sky around that time frame?
The concept was definitely being explored. Now, the sources don't draw a direct line saying this tech was used for the Phoenix lights. That would be pure speculation.
Sure, sure.
But the existence of such concepts within military planning does, let's say, broaden the field of potential explanations beyond just flares or conventional aircraft. It opens the door to thinking about undisclosed capabilities.
It makes you wonder what might have been tested, perhaps.
You could wonder that, yeah. What technologies were being developed behind the scenes?
And that same document mentioned other advanced stuff, too. Microwave weapons, lasers.
It did. Space-based microwave weapons to disrupt electronics, high-energy laser systems.
Yeah.
Again, not directly linked to the lights event by the sources, but it shows the kind of advanced, almost sci-fi tech the Air Force was contemplating for the future.
And connecting this idea of projection and deception, there was that other article, The Guardian piece.
Ah, yes. Discussing a proposed, though ultimately unused, plan during the first Gulf War. The idea was to project a giant holographic image of Allah over Baghdad.
Seriously? Using a huge mirror in space?
That was the reported concept.
Yeah.
And potentially using microwave pulses to create audible voices. Again, it wasn't implemented, but it shows that high-level military thinking definitely included large-scale visual and auditory deception.
Okay, so the idea of using advanced tech to create large-scale illusions wasn't just theoretical talk in a research paper. It was actually proposed for a real conflict.
It seems so. It adds context, suggesting these aren't just fringe ideas, but concepts that have been seriously considered at high levels.
It definitely makes you reconsider an event like Phoenix. If the capability, or at least the concept, for large-scale aerial deception exists.
It becomes one more possibility to weigh against the others, however speculative it might seem.
So we're bringing it all together, even with the official flare explanation. It's pretty clear why the Phoenix lights hasn't just faded away.
Not at all. The core mystery remains for so many people, that discrepancy between the official account and the sheer volume of reports describing that massive silent V object. It just doesn't square easily.
Right. The number of credible witnesses, including Symington later on, the scale, the silence, it keeps the questions alive.
And he saw the headlines back then, UFO mania, mysterious lights, haunting Arizona. It captured the public imagination because it felt like something truly profound and unexplained had occurred.
And groups like the Arizona UFO Sighting Center are still collecting data, still investigating, right?
Exactly. It shows the enduring interest and the feeling among many that the case isn't closed. It highlights that persisting gap between personal experience and official narratives when they don't align.
So wrapping up our deep dive here, we're basically left where we started in some ways, but with a much richer picture. Those key questions still hang in the air.
Yeah. Was it misidentification, maybe amplified by media attention, flares combined with something else?
Or was it some kind of advanced, maybe secret military technology demonstration or test, perhaps involving something like holographic projection?
Or, as many witnesses still maintain, was it something truly unknown, something, well, extraordinary?
It really forces you to think about how we evaluate evidence, especially eyewitness testimony versus official explanations, when they seem to contradict each other so strongly.
And it underscores how much we might not know about what's possible, technologically speaking, in our skies.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener. Knowing that military planners have documented interest in technologies like holographic projection, like advanced deception, how does that change how we view events like this?
And what responsibility do governments or military bodies have when so many citizens report something deeply strange? How should they balance national security concerns with public transparency, especially when official stories don't seem to fit the reported facts?
Definitely something to chew on. Thanks for diving deep with us today.